Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the Wisconsin DMA and the International Society for Strategic Marketing. And let's get over to the news. Okay, I was going to talk a little bit about personalization today. And here's a, you know, YouTube has this long list of,
Hello, Mike.
That's not right. Clicking on
Hello
stuff.
And welcome to another video here on Wristwatch Revival. My name is Marshall. Thank you so much for coming along. This time on the bench, we've got a pocket watch. This is an Elgin pocket watch from the late 1800s, built in about 1880 to 1882. This one actually belongs to a close friend of mine who inherited it. It's a family watch of his. And
Okay, so that's an Elgin watch. So YouTube makes recommendations. And I watched 51 minutes of that video. How in the world could you watch 51 minutes of a pocket watch restoration? This is why. And I don't know if you can see that, but it has, not only does it have Elgin on it, it's running too. Not only does it have Elgin on it, but it is, I said it to the wrong time, but it has my initials in it. I was given it by my grandmother, who said that it was belonged to my grandfather. But after careful study one day, I found initials on it, which are mine, because I was named after my great uncle. And so it accidentally has my initials. They didn't even know that it belonged to my great uncle. So apparently he passed away and gave it to my grandfather, and that is an Elgin, and very similar to the one in the video. So last week we talked about how 80% of people say, if the content is personalized to me, I'll be more interested. And we draw the conclusion from that that we should personalize content so that we'll get in on the 80% who are more likely to buy from it because it's personalized. But, and YouTube sent me or listed me a video. It's been coming up for a while. And I like to look at, you know, old planes getting restored and old sailboats. You know, sometimes it takes years to get the sailboats back in the water. I don't know how you draw the conclusion that I like to look at wristwatches. I never looked at a wristwatch video before in my life, as far as I know. But they managed to mention the Elgin watch, and it managed to look just like mine. And mine is running, and mine, and I learned how to take the whole thing apart if I want to, and clean it, and do all kinds of stuff to it. But the point is that is that content personalized? Yes. Was it the YouTube algorithm that made it personal? No. What made it personal is I happened to have an Elgin pocket watch, and that's what made it meaningful. It wasn't anything that YouTube did. It was random, as far as I can tell. Random. YouTube puts up lots and lots and lots of stuff. Maybe now they'll draw the conclusion I'm interested in pocket watch videos. That would be wrong, and that's the trouble. The trouble is that the context doesn't yield the personalization. The personalization is imbued by my own context. And there's no way that YouTube knew it, because this has been in a drawer for 20 years. And I've never watched a YouTube watch video. So is it personalized? Yeah. Is it the AI, brilliant AI YouTube algorithm? No. Okay, so I just want you to keep that illustration. Whenever you hear a pitch, basically, that says, well, because people want personalized content, buy our AR, think of the pocket watch. Think of the pocket watch and say, correlation does not equal causation. And it might just be that if we do good content, somebody will watch it. Brand experience and the metaverse. It was somebody opened a dam, and Meta was, there was probably, I don't know, a dozen Meta articles today. I couldn't believe it. It's like somebody just flipped a switch, probably Facebook, and all of a sudden everybody was talking about Meta. And Fishburne says, welcome to our brand experience in the metaverse. I'm sure consumers will show up any minute now. And, you know, back about 2007, there was some buzz about metaverse. Coca-Cola started their own. Second Life must have come on in that around then. Maybe it was 2005 or so. And so I was asked by a client to go looking around and exploring these. And so I joined about five of them, I think. And this was largely what it looked like. Incomplete buildings, incomplete faces, incomplete, you know, it was just like pieces of a landscape. And you try to move your persona or whatever it is, your mannequin around the place. And maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. Maybe you'd talk to people. A lot of times they were just frozen in place. They looked like they were there. You'd come up to them and try to have a conversation, and they would just not answer. People would just be basically still and not there. People, I use the word euphemistically. Anyway, so Tom says, Tom Sweeney, CEO of Epic Games, says the metaverse will be an expansive, digitized communal space where users can mingle freely with brands and one another in ways that permit self-expression and spark joy. It would not be the manicured, ad-laden feed presented by platforms like Facebook. Well, okay. But anyway, I think all of the ones that I looked at back in 2007 are gone. And Tom goes on, is a great illustration here. As teams think about how to experiment with the metaverse, there's a risk of marketing myopia, and nearsightedness means like from my own perspective is really what it means here. From inside a marketing team, it can be easy to imagine that consumers are just waiting to mingle freely with their brand, right? Like if we put up a kiosk in the middle of that great expanse, that somehow the consumers will be just dying to talk to us about whatever it is. And Tom said when he was an intern at General Mills, they built a serial Adventureland inside of Mall of America, and they even charged admission because they were so convinced that it was going to be a great success. And here's a Lucky Charms. There was a two-story Lucky Charms slide. And, you know, that probably was the admission thing was probably a mistake. But anyway, guess what? It got dropped. And this is almost exactly a picture of the metaverse, that you can build whatever you want. You can build a little brand island in this metaverse, and likely no one will come because what's the point? They don't want to talk to you about your universe. They want to build their own universe, as far as I can tell, anyway. And so the whole idea of the metaverse being taken over by advertising, I think, is going to be a little misguided. If you're going to do something, keep the budget fairly low. Use it to hire metaverse influencers. Find people that have some kind of following and have them do giveaways of t-shirts with your brand. Something simple like that. See what happens. See if you can measure anything. Probably not. Now, here's an article by Jenny Baker. Oh, before we go over to, let's go down to some other posts here. This was a good one. I have new baby pictures to share. I just got back from my reunion. Here's a sponsored post. Did you know that we have 7 subs under 6 grams of fat? And then from somewhere, this lady, I think, says, if you're going to crash our news feed, at least make it interesting. Like, they could have said, you know, I lost 50 pounds by eating at Subway. I don't believe it, but, you know, maybe it's true. At least it would be an interesting tie-in to these posts. And this is kind of the way it works. The advertising in Facebook is kind of an intrusion And most of the groups I'm in, I'm only mainly on Facebook for the groups. I don't really look at the posts from my friends. But there's a lot of beekeepers on Facebook. So I go in there, and most of them don't allow any kind of advertising whatsoever. I've gotten in trouble many times just for mentioning a product, even though it had nothing to do with me. So it's very, very difficult. People don't want it in spades. Okay. In this virtual world, marketers can pretend that consumers who ignore their brands in real life will somehow want to engage with them in virtual reality. I mean, mainly we want to engage with brands if we can get some free stuff or something like that. So keep that in mind. Here's Pokemon. I don't care if you think it's peaked. Let's get out there and lead millennials to our community bank, which, you know, at the time might have worked. I was trying to run Pokemon Go. My kids got mad because I even bothered to download it. Okay, so that's it for Tom Fishburne today. Look at this nice blinky thing I put up. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, we have a huge group of people registered, some really great people. So make a point in your calendar, 2 o'clock tomorrow. You got to get over to WDMA to register. I probably did the least promotion. We had the highest open rate we've ever had. So I think people are getting that we really are trying to help, and we're trying to promote mail, and brings us to print in the metaverse. Does print have a place in the metaverse? And this was actually better than I expected. I thought, no, it's stupid. But anyway, the idea was programmatic print. Maybe there's a way to take what you're seeing on the screen. Of course, you could always do a print screen or something, and send it to your friends. Not sure. The illustration was that that there was Canon and Adobe or somebody built a virtual hub, you know, because there weren't graduation ceremonies and there weren't the usual demonstration for an art school. They built a showcase for student graduates and invited the global creative community to check it out. And that I thought was pretty good. You know, and then you could print the stuff if you wanted to, which is, you know, it at least opened my mind to something that you could actually do this and it would make some sense. But I think in general, the worlds that we inhabit online are not completely integrated. Okay. And so my LinkedIn is fairly business oriented and my Facebook is fairly family-oriented, and WhatsApp is even more family-oriented. It's pretty much only family stuff. And if there's ads on WhatsApp, I don't know where they are, you know. And the style consultant does some stuff on Instagram, so I get on there and every now and then, but not, you know, I don't see a lot of the stuff. They're not overlapping, and I don't generally accept invitations to connect from Facebook business. When business associates ask me, I say, you know, just write to me on LinkedIn. I'm okay with that. And I don't, in general, talk on LinkedIn about my personal interests, like religious interests or political interests, not generally much at all. I talk about marketing. Seems to fit. And I think that that's pretty normal for people. I think that we don't want to bleed them all over. And I think one of the problems with third-party data is that it wants to connect those dots. And we don't want the dots to be connected. We want them to be a little bit separate. We want, you know, we're not asking family to go read my latest LinkedIn posts or watch this video. They don't. That's okay. It's okay. This is for you marketers, you know, and they're not marketers. And they don't read my Facebook posts either, because in there I'm doing beekeeping. So it's okay to keep them separate. So so when you read all these experience things about the metaverse, 4 things marketers need to know, I'll post this in the show notes. The marketers can help define the metaverse. Yeah, you can, but you know, don't try to overwhelm it because you can. Because you can take $10 million and drop a fraction of your Facebook budget on a metaverse. Just people will react negatively to it. Try to fit in. Most of those are communities. Same thing with the beekeepers. their communities. Respect that. Respect that they built it and you didn't. Okay? Marketer can learn a lot from gaming. Yeah, it's its own world, but it has its own internal consistency. There are rules to the game, and there are rules to the metaverse, and there will be. And they may not be the same rules, but there will be rules so that we can all interact. Human interaction requires rules, requires ethics, requires civility and politeness and other things like that. So don't forget that from the gaming. And have a little empathy for the others in the game because they may have been there a lot longer than you. This was kind of funny, but this gives you a different a perspective on the thinking. As a woman, this woman writes, being able to present as an inanimate object where gender is not just ambiguous but completely meaningless is liberating. I don't know why she finds that liberating. You know, I don't know, but she does. So you can do that, and that's part of the fun. You can be a turnip if you want or whatever. Marketers must ensure experiences provide value. And this is the hardest part, because if all you're doing is dishing up your brand in a world that you don't understand, it's not going to be positive. So that's enough for today. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. And I'd like some comment and feedback on that. Do your friends think you're smart? Do you want them to think you're smart?